Hello and welcome everyone back to the Hold for Hold Pro Wrestling Channel. Today is a very special day. As you can read, hopefully you can read from the title of today's video, we will be discussing, overanalyzing, and truly getting to the bottom of the Roman Reigns experiment. This is a topic that really was entrenched in me as I came back into the pro wrestling fandom. As it was just polarizing everyone. And I think it's a great start for anyone who's a little bit confused as to how Roman Reigns became the Roman Reigns he is today. But before we get into all that, I would really appreciate it if you would like, subscribe, and comment down below on this video. Share this video or this channel. Whatever you can do to help the channel out, it's greatly appreciated. But anyway, back to the topic at hand today. Roman Reigns, the Roman Reigns experiment, as it's commonly referred to as. We're going to answer the essential question here. Did it work? To do so, we're going to be diving into the origins of this story, talking about it as it was developing, looking at the overall goals for this story, and answering the question. I mean, did the Roman Reigns experiment work? So let's start off today with the origins. I tend to believe that the origins of the story could be found in Brock Lesnar's triumph over The Undertaker at WrestleMania 30, defeating The Streak. This set off an enormous power play as the power rankings in the WWE shifted very drastically. Before this, there was not really this untouchable person since Cena. John Cena's his reign from like 2010 to about this time, 2014, 2013, where he was just unbeatable and there was no one on his level. Brock Lesnar kind of took that role on from here on out. And this continuation of having these strong built characters that have no real opposition is essentially the problem and the catalyst for the Roman Reigns experiment itself, because now you have someone who's very overpowered and needs a foil, but you don't really have anyone built to that level. Well, you have one person, but WWE didn't want to run with that person, and that person being Daniel Bryan. I think his story is intertwined with the Roman Reigns experiment in a way that not a lot of people acknowledge, and they should acknowledge Daniel Bryan. Essentially, fans still wanted to see Bryan on top, and WWE was kind of done with the Yes Movement. They didn't find it strong enough to continue that on. They wanted their next guy to be hand chosen, and that person being Roman Reigns. And Roman Reigns was over at the time. And this is, I'm of course speaking here about like 2013, 2014, the entire Shield was over, and Roman was over. If you watch the Royal Rumble 2014 crowd, the crowd in that arena seemingly were behind Roman Reigns winning that Rumble, but it's not the most sincere, as they definitely wanted Daniel Bryan to win it, but once they realized that wasn't going to happen, they just wanted anyone but Batista. And so that's why I think you do need to speak about Daniel Bryan and Brock Lesnar when you discuss the Roman Reigns experiment. So, as I was saying, we have an overpowered Brock Lesnar going into WrestleMania 31, and they need a foil for him. Seemingly, their first choice was Roman Reigns. They have him win that year's Rumble. And again, the crowd wasn't for anyone but Bryan to win that Rumble. And once Bryan was eliminated, they started to see the writing on the wall pretty quick and turned on Roman towards the end of that Rumble. And as you've seen, the memorable photo of him and The Rock, where The Rock is just in shock that someone could be booing him in the ring right now. You know, this is truly the origin of it. This build to WrestleMania 31, where it's clear that WWE have the intention for Roman Reigns to become the next big thing. And to do so, he needs to defeat Brock Lesnar. And this will continue on, unfortunately, for nearly a decade. The story of Roman needing to beat Brock Lesnar to legitimize himself as the next top star. Now that we've discussed the origins of the Roman Reigns experiment. Let's talk about what happened during that time. So as I mentioned, Roman Reigns won the 2015 Royal Rumble leading into WrestleMania 31. He's going to face Brock Lesnar in the main event of that Royal Rumble, but he's booed. He's booed hard. I've never seen such a volatile response to a person winning the Rumble. You know, this is unheard of. I mean, it is unheard of. I would say, if anything, people were bored of some of the Rumble winners, but they weren't outright angry as they were here. And so this put a downer on his match coming up. And it forced WWE's hand to run with Seth Rollins as the eventual winner of that main event when he pulled off the heist of the century, which is a great moment that really is grounded in the Roman Reigns experiment story, because it definitely wasn't supposed to happen without Roman not being over. And so this failure, this inability to pull the trigger on Roman Reigns continues on for nearly a decade. And it's hard to watch television. You get stop and go moments where he wins the title, but it's not from Brock, and so they take it off him and they put it on Sheamus, and then they put it back on Roman. There's brief hints of him getting over with the crowd, but then something happens and it's a lot of stop and go. And the worst of this came in 2017. So a whole 2 years later, after the original WrestleMania 31, you have a roster that's just tremendously stacked with talent. This roster had some great names, had a lot of momentum. I can name a few right off the top of my head. Samoa Joe, AJ Styles had come in. Finn Balor had just won the first ever Universal title but got injured. And so you have him, Seth Rollins, and Chris Jericho's doing great work, and Kevin Owens is right there. So you have this entire lineup of people that the crowd is more behind than Roman Reigns, and you still have Brock Lesnar, almost like an incumbent, just not ever present because he was never on TV. He never wanted to show up. That was part of his story, was that he wasn't interested in showing up. How much of that is real, we don't know. But so he had this tremendously long reign going on, and you have all these challengers that are more than capable of holding it down. And then you still have Roman there, who fans aren't any more behind than they were back then. If anything, they're just more divided on the opinion of Roman Reigns. I remember specifically, I was in the camp of, it's not his fault, his creative is bad. Because I genuinely liked Roman Reigns' matches. I thought his match, especially with AJ Styles at Extreme Rules 2016 or 2017, was outstanding work. Those two put on a great story together. But beside that, so it's 2017, you have too many good challengers, and Roman just really feels like an afterthought. But he feels like a looming afterthought, because the entire time you're watching, you understand that none of these challengers are going to get anywhere close to Brock because Roman's there. And it eventually turns out we were wrong, because Goldberg comes in and he throws a wrench into things and he takes the Universal title. It was a rough year to watch for the Roman Reigns experiment. And then unfortunately things got worse as this division reaches a breaking point at WrestleMania 34 when Roman Reigns takes on The Undertaker in what is seemingly a forced passing of the torch. Both men have gone on to say that they didn't really enjoy the outcome of that match, how it went down and everything like that. And it's a rough one to watch. But following that match, he is booed again. I mean, he's booed. There's no one that wants. He almost has go away heat. And this division, this constant like stop and go, this has all boiled up to this point. People are fed up with this story. They've given it too many chances and they haven't gotten the return they wanted. And keep in mind, the entire point of this story is to get this guy to be the most loved person on the roster, but it didn't work this way. And this is where I could kind of say that the Roman Reigns experiment takes a real halt, because at this point we kind of see the writing on the wall. The Roman's not going to get that Brock match, that Brock moment. He does end up beating Brock, at SummerSlam 2018. So that same year, SummerSlam, he ends up beating Brock. It's messy. It's a dirty match with Braun coming out with his briefcase, and it's not legitimate. And then following that SummerSlam, he has to vacate the title. He gets diagnosed with leukemia. He has to take nearly a year off. And in that year's time, unfortunately, big stars came out of that. They built Seth Rollins up to beat Brock Lesnar. Kofi Mania happened. And when Roman comes back, the landscape's very different. And they don't know what to do with him. And it's a tough decision, honestly, because the crowd is back behind Roman in a new way, though. They've seen the human character of Roman, the person that he is, to beat cancer and come back is very harrowing. And WWE doesn't necessarily want to profit or capitalize off of that alone. So they just kind of build them up again with smaller feuds that allow for their top people now to continue what they're going on and Roman to kind of find his way in. And I think it's the best way they could have done it. And with this hiatus, I kind of believe that the Roman Reigns experiment softly ends. I mean, we all know still that they want Roman up there again, and this is just, you know, their way of building it back. But as with hindsight now, they never had the time to really force him down our throats again, as everyone says. They didn't have the time to push him like they wanted to. Because as that's happening, Drew McIntyre is rising up the ranks, and he wins that year's Royal Rumble by last eliminating Roman. So it's kind of a passing of the torch there. Then we have COVID breaks out. Roman has to leave. He comes back, and then we really have the entire script is flipped, where he becomes the Brock Lesnar, because Brock Lesnar's gone. So he just, I'm the big bad now. Like, I am my own. In a way, he legitimized himself by doing this. He turns heel. He beats Braun Strowman and Bray Wyatt to win the Universal title. He starts off his long, long reign that we're still in now, by the way. And it's good stuff. It's really good television. Let's stop there and let's talk about, did it work? Let's answer the question. Did the Roman Reigns experiment work? And unfortunately, kinda, right? As I mentioned, it softly died. The story definitely died off. The Roman Reigns experiment was no more. And the script was flipped. He had become the big bad. He didn't need Brock Lesnar to legitimize himself anymore because he was already there. So now when he's faced Brock Lesnar at this past WrestleMania, you weren't getting a passing of the torch moment like they wanted before. You're just getting a match between two guys who have this really, really long catalog of backstory to pull from, and a little bit of Paul Heyman shenanigans to throw in there, and it becomes something completely different. And the reason I say it kind of worked and not just flat out say it didn't is because in the end, we got both parties, the fans and WWE, got what they wanted. We as fans, we got an entertaining Roman that you can get behind, and the WWE got their generational star. Roman Reigns is that guy now. He's the one. And I think that's really the entire goal of everything, is just to get him to that point. This definitely wasn't the route they wanted to take. They were so stubborn on this one match to get him to that place, and then they try to replace it with matches in between, like The Undertaker and Triple H, but it didn't work. And in fact, it blew up in their face every time. And so now you have what you want. It's just not the road you wanted to take. And from here, though, this is where I see the problem beginning. Because you're right back at square one. As I said, Roman Reigns is the Brock Lesnar. He is now the sitting incumbent. And there's no one on his level. And the big mistake they can make right now is to try to force someone onto that level, to recreate the Roman Reigns experiment with someone else, whether that be Austin Theory or Bron Breakker, whoever. You know, it's it's going to be interesting to watch these next couple of years and to see what can happen. But they have, the key here is they have stars there that they can reasonably empower to beat Roman Reigns, to dethrone Roman Reigns. Big E is probably my top contender, especially with this latest injury. You know, if he comes back, which is a big thing, that injury was really unfortunate. But if he is able to come back wrestling, even at a part-time level, at an edge schedule level, I think that you could reasonably build up Big E to that superstardom. You have Big E, you have Seth Rollins, and now Cody Rhodes. All these guys are naturally and organically loved by fans. And if you just empower them the right ways, you could get your next Roman Reigns, your next generational talent, without having to go through the ordeal that was the Roman Reigns experiment. And as a fan, as much as I loved Roman Reigns, and as much as I enjoyed his work back then for the most part, it was tough to watch. It was a gamble every time you turn on to Raw or a pay-per-view and see the fans, and you're like, man, what is this crowd gonna think of Roman? And now it's not that way at all. We don't consider that even a little bit. Roman is universally loved. Everyone acknowledges him, as they should. So yeah, that was my deep dive into the Roman Reigns experiment. I hope you guys enjoyed this. If you got this far, please make sure to leave a like. Comment below, who do you think will be the one dethroning Roman Reigns? As I mentioned, I'm rooting for Big E. And I would love to see some Big E supporters down in the comments. And yeah. Thank you guys for watching. I really appreciate it. And you guys have a great day. Bye-bye.